Scripture reading this evening is dated from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath brought us from the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences.
Glad you're here again this evening, and we can look to these words written by Paul. This section of scripture here is, I think, very timely in the sense that we live in a time when, you know, we think about uncertainties. We think about the difficulties that we face. I suppose every generation of people feels at times that life is hard, life is difficult, there are obstacles so many to face and overcome. And these words here from the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians are tied to what comes prior to them, where the Apostle Paul is looking at the experience of the Christian life. And the reality is that our time here on this earth and the struggles that we have to go through, they create in us a longing for the heavenly life that awaits us in the future. This is something that is brought forth in these words we'll be looking at tonight. But Paul had been writing about the trials, about the hopes, about the optimism that the child of God needs to have as we go through this life, because you live as a faithful Christian, he says, and you're going to go through hardship. That's a part of it. And you'll notice back in the previous chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, Paul had expressed these words. He said, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Then he says, we're always carrying about in our body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. The life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So the experience of those who are faithful, and in particular during this time, there was a lot of individual suffering in a very severe sense when they lived their Christian life and did the work of the Lord. They were persecuted. They were beaten. They were imprisoned. Some of them were put to death. And this experience that they went through certainly made them that much more longing for what would come in the future. Promises that had been spoken to them, those things that they looked forward to that were part of the heavenly hope that we can fix our eyes upon. And so in chapter 5, you'll notice that he says, for, and this ties what he is about to say there in verse 1 to what he had just spoken about. If you look at verse 16 through the end of the previous chapter, there in chapter 4, he says, therefore, we do not lose heart. In other words, even though all of these things we have to go through, we don't lose heart, we don't give up. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So he talks about the importance of fixing our eyes, fixing our attention spiritually upon the things that are beyond our fleshly vision, things that relate to the promises of God, things that we haven't experienced, seen, laid hold of, literally yet, but things that are just as real as the things that we can lay our eyes upon. This is where he begins in chapter 5 to talk about these things that relate to the eternal. So we're going to talk about this idea expressed by Paul concerning this building that is from God, a house not made with hands. In verses 1 through 5, he's going to discuss our eternal house and things related to it. In verses 6 through 8, he discusses our confidence, that which we have a certainty of. And in verses 9 and 10, he talks about our aim, what it is our purpose to do as those who are looking forward to the promise of things to come. So let's think about the discussion that Paul gets into here of something that we all certainly have curiosity about and we wonder about, and that is, what is it going to be like when we go from what we have now, this earthly, temporary, physical body, to the spiritual one, to the heavenly one that is promised to us? What is that all about? Because the Bible says some things, now we don't have a very clear picture about the nature of the body to come, but it is something that he discusses here in verses 1 through 5. And he says in verse 1 these words, and his focus is on our dwelling. He says in verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So in verse 1, he talks about our dwelling, and he mentions that there's something that we know, something we have clear knowledge of. Something has been revealed, and so we have a certainty of something. And he first mentions what we can observe with our eyes, this earthly tabernacle, this earthly tent. He's talking about our physical bodies. He mentions it here. He calls it an earthly house, or it's called a tent. What we know about this physical body is that it's of this world. It was made for this world to inhabit time that we live on this earth in this physical material universe. We also know that this earthly house or tent is a temporal one. It's not going to endure for very long. It's short-lived. Even the people that lived, you know, hundreds of years during the Old Testament times lived for just a brief time in terms of, you know, the scope of eternity, which is never-ending. So we live temporal lives, given that our tent is not enduring. It's finite. It doesn't keep on. He says, furthermore, that this tent may in fact be taken down. It may be destroyed in the service of Christ. And you remember what he said back in verse 11 of the previous chapter, for we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake. Well, so in verse 1, he says, we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed. Well, that was a reality for people that lived in a time when Christians were being dragged off in prison. Some of them were being executed. Many of them were suffering, and suffering in various ways. So they did, in fact, look at the end of life as something that could happen at any time as it related to persecution. So it might be destroyed in the service of Christ. But what they were looking at was a separation that they knew was going to occur at some point. For us as well, we might not face the kind of persecution that they did, but we know at some point this tent is going to be taken down. We're not going to live this body forever. So we're going to have to face that separation when the soul departs from the body and death occurs. But what Paul emphasizes here is that though this will happen at some point, what we know is that there is something that awaits us. There is a heavenly house. There's a contrast there between what we have now, what we see looking back at pictures and comparing them to what we see in the mirror. Things are changing. This tent is growing old and it is going to one day be laid down. He says here, what we know is that we have a building from God. The use of that word know clearly indicates this is a certainty. And the knowledge of that was given by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit revealed through various individuals God's will concerning, the truth concerning that which is going to come. Paul himself had revealed in the previous epistle that he wrote to this very congregation some things relating to what was going to come in the future. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning in verse 50, he had said, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." So this body cannot go to dwell in the place where God is. That's incorruption. The heavenly home and all the things that God has prepared is of the incorruptible world. This body won't go there, he says. He says in verse 51, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." In other words, not everyone is going to die. Some will be alive when Jesus comes again. He says, even though we shall not all sleep, the reality is everyone has to be changed. Because again, you have to have the heavenly body in order to go there, to be in the presence of God. So he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So what he mentions here is what's going to happen when Christ comes back to this earth, his second coming. At the time of the judgment, there's going to be this call, this summoning. And so the resurrection is going to occur, and the righteous, which is what he mentions here, when he says the dead will be raised incorruptible, has reference to the souls who have died in Christ, or all faithful servants of God under all dispensations, will be raised with a body that is not of this nature. So this is a corruptible body, but the one we have coming is never going to grow old. It's never going to deteriorate. It's never going to be laid to rest. It's of a different nature. And he says that we shall be changed. The idea is the dead will come forth incorruptible, and the ones that are living will instantaneously be transformed into what they're going to be for the rest of their existence. A new body will be given. For this corruptible, he says in verse 53, must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So the final day is the day when these new bodies are going to be received. Now, this is what Paul is writing about back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, here in verse 1. that we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So the things that he says about this body that's coming is, it's a body fashioned by God. It's one that has been made by him. Now we know that this material universe was also made by God. And the bodies that we have are made by God in the sense that he brought them into existence. But the bodies that we're going to have, when he says they're not made with hands, has reference to human involvement, because God initially at the creation made man and woman from man. But from that point on, it has taken a man and a woman to bring about successive generations. Life continues in that fashion. But human involvement isn't continued. And the house that we receive, the body that we receive, comes and is received directly from God. It's not made with hands. It's not of this earth, in other words. And it is a body that, he says, will endure forever in that heavenly realm. It's eternal. So that's a beautiful thought to focus upon when you are a Christian, going through hard times, when you are hard-pressed, when you're perplexed, when you're persecuted, when you're struck down, when you're carrying about in your body the dying of the Lord Jesus. The hardships of life make life a burden. And therefore, thinking about and dwelling upon the promise of the life to come, and the laying aside of the temporal and the putting on of the eternal, it's a wonderful thing to contemplate. And so our dwelling will no longer be earthly, but one day it'll be heaven. And this, he says, we know. As we read in Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 20, Paul said, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform," he says, "our lowly body," this one here and now, "and," he says, "that it may be conformed to his glorious body." So that's another interesting thought, that the nature of the body that we are going to have will be like the one that Christ has. The nature will be the same, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. So our dwelling will be in a body that is eternal, that can dwell in the presence of God, and that will endure and endure. It will never have an end. But in the following verses, then, verses 2 through 5, as he discusses our eternal house, he talks about our desire. He says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven." There are times in life when the burdens are great, when the trials are grievous, when we are burdened in mind to the point where it affects our physical bodies, and we feel weakened. And a part of the struggles of the Christian life involves such things. The longing is to just lay aside all of the struggles, the trials, the grief, the heartache, the burdens. And so Paul expresses this longing for the body that we'll one day have as something that we groan in regard to. The groaning for it. It's a great longing or yearning for something. He says we earnestly desire to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. This expression here, this phrase, "to be clothed with," is from a single Greek word that has the definition of to put on a garment over an existing one, in addition to, in other words. So what Paul is really saying is that his longing is to essentially be present when the Lord comes again, so that he might just simply put on the new body, as opposed to being without a body. There's two bodies that we're told will exist, or that do exist. You know, the one that we have now and the one that we will be given in the end time, at the last day, when we will either be changed and receive that body then, or we will be raised and receive that body, being a resurrected new being. So this is the idea that Paul expresses here. He desires to be transformed at the coming of Christ with this habitation, this dwelling place, this new house that we will have when the Lord comes again, the heavenly habitation. So the Spirit is pictured as dwelling within the body, whether it's the body now or the body to come. And being apart from that body is not pictured as a desirable thing. And yet that's the state of the dead that go on beyond this life and enter into the paradise realm for Christians, the Hadean realm. Souls of men are in that place, in one of two portions of the Hadean realm, torment or paradise. So our desire, as he puts it, is to be clothed. And then he says in verse 3, if indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. In other words, if in fact we are able to live until we are clothed over with that body that is going to come from heaven without having to be without a body, without being naked, as he says, that's even more desirable. For we, verse 4, who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. And so again, the idea of being in this tent, being in this physical body, is a hardship so many times. The longing, he said, is not to be without a body. You know, it's interesting that the concept over again in Scripture of, you know, the spirit separated from the body is one of death, right? The spirit without the body is, or the body without the spirit, rather, is dead. So the spirit leaves the body, and the body is put in the ground as we typically do, and it returns to the elements from which it was created. That soul returns to God, who gave it. And in the picture that we're given in the account that Luke gives of the rich man and Lazarus, we have a picture of individuals comforted who were faithful to God and individuals that are tormented, having rejected God and His Word, having not lived according to His will, those who died in sin. But eventually, all those people in that realm are going to be summoned forth. And the picture is that they who long to be clothed will one day be clothed. Because in that state, in the Hadean realm, the soul exists, but the physical body has been left behind. The spiritual body is yet going to be received in the future at the second coming of Christ. Paul says, we, so we're in this tent and groaning, do not want to be unclothed, but we want that body that will enable us to have life eternal. He phrases it in this fashion, by the Spirit, he says, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. So here, one who may, on the day of judgment, you can imagine, in this life, a faithful Christian, Christ comes again. Here he is in this body. You may have a child of God who is aged, feeling all the aches and pains, maybe burdened by the stresses of life, and the Lord appears in the heavens, and suddenly that child of God is transformed. There's no more pain. There's no more suffering. There is a body that has been given that will endure for all eternity. Transformation that is promised, that each and every one of us can look forward to. An eternal house that God will give us in the last day. And he says in verse 5, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. And so God, in fact, as a prepared people and is getting us ready for what is coming in the future. And the receiving of that immortal body is going to occur for each and every one who receives the instruction given to us by the Spirit, who Jesus said back in John chapter 14, He would send this comfort, who would guide them into all truth. This is the one whose words we follow, who is a guide to us, instructs us, who leads us in the ways that will, in fact, lead us to the side of God. Paul, in verse 6, beginning, speaks about our confidence. And he says, so we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. He says, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So there is an assurance that Paul speaks of here. While we're at home in the body, here in this fleshly body, the obvious implication is we can't be with God, we can't be with the Lord, because we cannot be in His presence as long as we are in this earthly tabernacle. But the reality is, He is there while we are here, and we are going to be in His presence one day. That's absolutely certain. Though we cannot see Him, we've never seen Christ, we've never seen God, we've never seen heaven, we haven't seen angels. And yet we believe in all of those things because of the word which we have been given. That's why He says we walk by faith. We don't walk by sight. The heavenly tabernacle that awaits us, the new body that we will receive one day, we believe in. Because by faith, we are assured and we are confident that it is something that God is going to grant us on the last day. Therefore, what Paul expresses in verse 8, even though he, as his longing was, to be clothed over with the new body and not be naked for any time, that is, without a body, as he would be in paradise, yet he says, we are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So, just between the two, it's far better to go and be with the Lord, even if you had to be absent from the body, which implies to us that one day we are going to, when we leave this life and go into that realm, we will be present with the Lord. We will see Him then. Paul assures us of that here in verse 8. And then the final thing that we notice relates to our earthly living while we're here. Our aim, he says, beginning in verse 9, our aim, we make it, therefore our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Since the reality is one day, there is that time when the body will be received and we have all of this to look forward to. What our striving is to be all about now is to do God's will. And he says, not only is it to be done when we are here, but even after we depart from it. That's an interesting suggestion, that even after we leave this life, we still go about seeking to do the will of God and to please Him in whatever we do. We don't know. It's not revealed to us what all we're going to be doing after we die and we leave this life. But He says that we make it our aim, whether present, that is present in this physical body, or absent from it. After we've left this body, our aim is to be well-pleasing to Him. For us now, here, while we're in this life, the reason why it's all about pleasing God is, for one, so that we can receive that immortal body, but it's also relating to the idea of the judgment. We are going to have to give an account. While we're here, we make choices. We choose whether we're going to walk with the Lord or reject Him. It points out the fact that we are all going to give an account in the last day. And those things are going to be related to the decisions that we made while we were here in this flesh. While you inhabit, he says, the physical body, live your life according to God's will. Because one day, when the Lord comes again, based on how you have lived in this body and what you have done, you're going to give an account of it to the Lord. whether those things are good or whether those things are bad. Thus, Paul has spoken here about great themes, the promise of an eternal house that God has for us, the confidence that we have because we walk by faith. It's a confidence that we have because we know the promises of God are absolutely certain. And thus, because of that, we live in a certain way. In the present, our aim is to please God in everything that we do, so that in the end, we can lay off this physical body. If we are here, when the Lord comes again, it will be a transformation. He says that instantaneous change when the mortal puts on immortality. That's something we can all picture in our minds and one day be recipients of. Faithful children of God have a certain and bright future. But as you examine your life tonight, reflect upon this reality. If you're not a child of God, these hopes and these promises and the body that will never die is not something that will be received. These are promises to God's people, certain in faith. You have to make a decision to turn to God, to be saved from your sins, and then to be able to embrace this hope as one of those who are part of God's family. If you're not a Christian, you need to make a decision so that your future can be all about what was examined and talked about tonight. With faith in Jesus Christ, believing that He's the Son of God, you can have hope. If you'll turn away from your sins in repentance and acknowledge your faith in Jesus Christ, confessing that faith, if you will be baptized, that is, immersed in water so that your sins can be washed by the blood of Jesus, hope will come to your life because God will cleanse you of all your past sins. You will be added by God to the church that Christ establishes. But if you're living as a child of God and faithfulness is something that you've drifted from, you need to be restored to the kind of life that will enable you to receive the blessings that God has prepared for the faithful. But you need to resume the walk. Come back home. Let the Father restore you to where you once were. You need to respond to His invitation. We encourage you to come now as we stand.